Clint Hurdle joins us on Sports Byline, former Major League outfielder who played for the Royals, the Reds, the Mets, and also the Cardinals, and he also managed the Rockies and the Pittsburgh Pirates as well. Clint, your introduction into baseball was early. As a child, you were a bat boy for the Cocoa Astros of the Florida State League. Tell me a little bit about what you saw about the game of baseball when you were that young.
I was watching what they call D-ball, Ron. It was about 15 miles from my house. I was only able to work in the summer. But I was coming out, and I was basically that kid, that young kid in the clubhouse that hung laundry. In fact, we hung laundry in a line. I shined shoes. I would run and get them a Coke and a Snickers or a hot dog for their dinner or lunch between batting practice and the game. And somebody might tip me a quarter from now and then. It didn't matter what I did or where I did it. I thought I was at Disneyland. To watch baseball players practice, play ball. Some of the things I saw and heard in the clubhouse, I couldn't repeat at that age. But it gave me educational value that I couldn't have got many other places. You'd see them after the game when they won. You'd see them after the game when they lost. You knew that you had a role and a responsibility. If they won, how you needed to do things. And if they lost, how you needed to adjust and do things within the structure of the clubhouse. But I also got to see the coaches work and the managers, so there were different layers to it. I had a blast, and two of the guys that happened to be on the team at that time got to be friends of mine over the years, but John Mayberry was playing first base, and Bob Watson was the catcher. How about that?
Yeah, that's some good names right there. I know exactly what you mean. You were quite an athlete when you were growing up, and you got a scholarship from the University of Miami to play both baseball and football. You were accepted at Harvard as well, but you declined both to play baseball. What was your thinking in doing that?
I followed the desire of my heart. My dad, who's been my biggest fan, my biggest advocate, he's been, I'm a truth teller, he's been a hope broker, he's been my best man twice. My dad never turned down an opportunity to play catch, to go out and hit. He was amazing how he worked and showed up. Baseball was my thing. My dad also loved football, and I played football basically. I think one of the reasons I played, I was pretty good at it. I was a quarterback. I didn't have to practice probably as hard as the lineman, the linebacker, some of the other people, but I love Friday night football. But baseball, it could be Tuesday afternoon, it could be Wednesday night, it could be Saturday morning. I was good to go. So at the end of the day, yes, not going to college, it was a challenging decision. Not going to Harvard may have been the biggest struggle I had internally just because of the campus, the institution, the tradition, what maybe I could grow and become by going through that process, and the fact that one of the craziest things I ever heard was, hey, if you're struggling with your studies, you come here, you don't have to go to practice. We'll get you a tutor. You stay with your grades. You make sure you make it. I was hearing a little different story at some of those other institutions I was going to. If you start struggling with your grades, how are they going to work it out? At the end of the day, though, Ron, baseball was my passion. Baseball was what I dreamed since I was 5, 6 years old in the backyard. And that my parents blessed it. They said, you know what? You only get certain chances in time to fulfill a dream, so go after it.
As you know, Clint, labeling is something that goes on in all sports, particularly baseball. And you were just 20 years old when Sports Illustrated labeled you a phenom. What did that do to the expectations that others had of you?
Well, it raised them exponentially. I didn't realize that at the time. When you're in that space, it's not like you have control over a lot of things. At 20, you think you're in control of everything. And, you know, 63, I still realize I'm not in control of much. But at 20, you think you got this, you think you got that. Once that thing hit the cover, raised expectations, teammates, a little different perception of me in the league, almost like a bullseye. It was just kind of crazy. I had some people that rallied to try and help work me through it. It wasn't something that I didn't dream about doing that as a kid. I dreamed about winning a world championship. I dreamt about being a big leaguer. I didn't dream about having my picture on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But it was something that definitely came into play that I had to work through and deal with. And over the years, I learned how to use it as an asset, a positive experience. But there was times when it made a lot of things more difficult.
Yeah, I was thinking about that and smiling when I heard that. And I thought to myself, if there's anything that players or fans are looking for, it's something to get on another player for. And I could imagine the razzing that you took in your clubhouse when other players saw you and up going into opposing ballparks, too.
It was real. it was borderline hazing and bullying at times. That's the way I look back at it now. But you didn't know you were being hazed, and you didn't know you were being bullied. You know, you were just showing up trying to figure it out. But there was a lot of other collateral things that came with it that probably became distractions, or I turned into distractions. However, in the long run, a lot of life lessons that were able to be garnered from it.
I want to ask you, you were drafted in the first round by the Royals. You come up in 77. You play in the 1980 World Series with Kansas City against Philadelphia, which the Phils won in four games. What do you remember most about Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, in that World Series?
You're playing against some of the best players in the game, let alone one of the best teams in the game. Pete Rose played first. Booney was catching. Trio was at second. Bo was at I can give you the whole lineup. I mean, that's how impactful it was. And as a kid growing up, it doesn't get any better than playing in a World Series at the age of 23 and being the starting right fielder in game one. The level of competition was so fierce. Two teams that were really good teams that had some really good players, but they had good benches. They had good reserves. We had all-around good managers. The hard part of it was, we had the lead. We lost the first two there. We come home and win two. And we have the lead in game five. And it gets away. Dan Quisenberry ended up blowing two saves in that series. And how can he blew two saves all year? But we had the lead. We were something like, you know, whatever in one during the season. We have the lead after seventh inning. And I think two or three of the losses were late inning losses, which I think really hadn't happened to us. It was kind of uncharacteristic. So to be that close to, you know, having that opportunity to win a World Series and not, yeah, it takes the wind out of you. But I look back now, played against Pete Rose, Bob Toon, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, all that invaluable experience. And little did I know that it wouldn't be. Sometimes you never get back. I was fortunate to get back 27 years later with the Rockies, and then 3 years after that with the Rangers. So. It's everybody says Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. World Series baseball is the most wonderful time of the year for me.
I would agree with that. Speaking of great players, you certainly played for and with a great one, I should say, in George Brett. I remember my conversations with him about hitting, especially that season when he was flirting with 400. And I always came away with the feeling, Clint, that the key to his success was that he understood what he could do. And he played to that strength. Am I correct in that observation?
Yes, you're correct. He also was a tireless worker. He was also a fierce competitor. He was also a great and strong teammate. George, he worked as hard on defense as he did on his hitting. And, you know, if you look at his minor league numbers, he never hit, I don't think, over... Never hit over 20. Never hit like 16 home runs in the minor leagues was the most he ever hit. And, you know, he may have hit 300 one time. He became a better hitter as he got older, and he became a better player and hitter against better competition as he continued to play. Eventually won a gold glove at third base, which probably there's parts of him that's more proud of that than anything because of the amount of work he put in. But in the batter's box, I can remember two guys while I was up in the big leagues that – you know, you didn't blink. You would definitely, if I was a fan, I would never go to the bathroom while they were hitting. It was Rod Carew and George Brett. George Brett was amazing. Left on left, hard, soft, up, down, needed a homer, needed a double, hard out of the box, breaking up double plays, extra bases, smart base runner. He was the kind of guy that you would take a little league team to watch play. Play the game the right way. Play it hard, play it smart, play it right.
In 2007, you began managing after your playing career. But in 2007, you managed Colorado to that 90-73 record, their best finish in the team's 15-year history. You won 13 of your last 14 games in order to force that tiebreaker game, with San Diego and the Padres to determine the winner of the National League wild card. You go on then, as you pointed out, to the World Series as well. I'm just wondering, when you take a look back, what was the magic moment? What was the telling moment in that season that allowed that to happen?
Well, you don't know if there's one moment. It's almost like you can feel something significant building. And I think even throughout the season, we were never out of it. We were really never in of it. We were never a bunch of games under 500. We were never a bunch of games over 500. And the one statement I kept sharing with our team was, guys, we haven't gotten hot yet. Now, truthfully, I've been on teams that never got hot the whole year. But this team, they worked well together. They played hard together. I felt that if they could stay in the hunt, stay focused, not get distracted, not get disappointed, that something good could happen. But they took it upon themselves to continue to work. And there was a period of time, you mentioned 13 out of 14, yes. And some other things had to come into play. The Brewers had to beat the Padres the last game of the season when Tony Gwynn's son hits a triple that flouts off Hoffman to score a winning run. Put them in a position where if we win, then we tie and we get a tiebreaker. We also had a stretch where we went and beat teams in places we'd never beaten before. We went to L.A. and wiped out the Dodgers. But the Dodgers came home. The pivotal moment for me, Todd Helton hit a walk-off home run off Saito. I believe it was the first game of a doubleheader. And it was right in the middle of the streak. Our team was like 0 for 23 against Saito. We didn't have a hit against Saito. And he's coming in, and they've got a 2-run lead, a 1-run lead. And Holiday goes up. He's the first guy, and he drills a single to right field on the first pitch. I mean, this is our first hit off this guy. Well, Helton works the count, two strikes, whatever. Normally he was in his most dangerous spot when he had two strikes. And he hit the walk-off homer. And I saw this man react in a way I've never seen him react. The mosh pit at home, the helmet up in the air, the entire team celebrating, team success, but actually just celebrating him. And it was almost like that was the moment you go, just keep hunting, boys. Something really cool is going to happen here. And we ended up running out the season. We won 13 of 14, and we won seven more in a row. We won 21 out of 22 games. And if we would have done that in a major market, or that game 163 would have been in New York or L.A. that went 13 innings, and we won in dramatic fashion then with Holiday slide home plate, that game would still be talked about. At the end of the day, though, special seasons are special seasons. And the memories that were provided for that staff, the players, the organization, the fan base of Colorado, nobody can ever take those away.
Is there any one particular moment in either playing or managing career that's kind of engraved in Clint Hurdle's mind that he'll never forget?
Yes. I shared this with somebody the other day. I just had a funny question. There's many, but the one that continually, it was like my first one as a player in a major league uniform. I was called up for major league spring training. And I'd had a pretty successful campaign in AAA. And I had actually hit some home runs in September. It was spring training. We're going over to Tampa. We're going to play the Big Red Machine. And Johnny Bench is catching, so is pitching. It's just exhibition. But I go walk to the plate, and I dig in, and I turn back. I says, "Well, Mr. Bench," he kind of laughed. He goes, "Call me Johnny." I mean, it's surreal, right? I mean, a kid watching at the end, I'm going, "Yeah, okay, nice to meet you, John." I dig in. I tap my bat on the plate, Ron. I have the label up. I always hit, label up, tap the bat, then get your little swings going. And I get back in, reset, and Bench goes, "Step out." This is the catcher telling me to step out. So I stepped out. And he goes, "Are you up here to hit or are you up here to read?" And I was like, "What?" He goes, "You got the label up. Flip the label over. Grown man hit with the label down. Flip the label over, get back in there and hit." 3 pitches later, I hit a sudden changeup out the left center field. Across the home plate, and I got a wink from Johnny Bench.
Clint, I want to thank you very much for sharing your life, also your career as well. Very, very interesting and insightful. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, my friend.
Ron, you're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Clint Hurdle, again, former Major League outfielder, played for the Royals, Reds, Mets, and Cardinals, and also managed the Rockies and the Pirates. We continue on Sports Byline.